I was recently in a trip in the Balkans. I went with my wife, and that we started in Berlin, which isn't the Balkans, but then we went to Serbia, met Pastor Bulacek, Chuck Harlan, and Pastor Dennis Hewlett, who's in Albania, and his wife Jane. And we went down to a country called Bosnia-Herzegovina, okay, which is, we went to a city called Sarajevo. Sarajevo, some people call it the Jerusalem of Europe, because it's like a melting pot of religions where, you know, the Orthodox, the Jews, and the Catholics kind of meet there. And it's predominantly Muslim. And there we ministered in that city for a couple of days. We had two salvations that I remember of, Muslim girls. It's amazing to be on the streets and to know that you have the truth. And when I say that, we saw Islam as so shallow. When we talk about the center, isn't that so objective in our life? And it takes us to an expected end in our thought life and in our emotions when Christ is the center. We have tasted and seen, we have experienced, we have touched with our hands, you know, these words. You know, our lives have handled them and are handling them. And so we have this content that is welling up in our souls. And then we speak to people who are simply told they cannot believe in Jesus, or that they are a Muslim simply because their mom told them they are. And it means nothing in their life. It means nothing. It's all external. It's all just it's a layer of clothing that they hide behind, like Adam and Eve. And it, you know, it really is, let's proclaim it, it's just fig leaves, right? It's just fig leaves. But, you know, we get to eat the fruit. You know, we're eating the figs, you know, in our life. We're partaking of the fruit. And so we saw that as we ministered, because we went to Montenegro, which is an Orthodox country. We were there a couple of days. You know, if you've ever seen you want to get away and go somewhere and see a really nice place and be with your wife. It was like, really, it's like the mountains and then the beach. And, but I was there with Pastor Jane and Dennis Hewlett, and they are such a precious couple. Just serving God with their whole heart. And they're in Albania. And then we went down to Velipoja, which is the coastal city of, a coastal city of Albania. I'm just giving you a little, this is the Balkans. It's on the Italy's here, the Adriatic Sea's here, and then the Balkans start here to the east of the Adriatic. And then, so we're at Velipoja, and we're coming in, and, you know, we're driving the car to the camp, and we see this guy called Pastor Tony Pallotta. Do you guys remember him? if I could tell you about waiting on God, and that man and his wife, he came in the ministry, I think he said, in the mid-80s, and he wanted to go on the mission field for years. He went to Eurocons just so he could keep his heart warm. He spent his money on missions and supporting missions. Didn't put much away, he said, you know, in the bank account or whatever, but he was thinking of missions. And I just talk about his life for a second. It's a guy that, I want to say, I'm not preaching, right? I'm telling a story, so I'm going to pray and I'm going to preach, but we're just talking, right? I would say you don't know someone unless you've ministered together with them. And you could have somebody you see every day at church, and if I've never ministered with you, I don't know you. I don't know you. That was me with Tony. We basically came into church almost at the same time. We went to Bible college together. I didn't know him. And why am I saying that? I don't mean you know, you got to go on a summer harvest with somebody and minister. How did I get to know Pastor Barry Quirk? Like, I went on a summer harvest with him. But, I mean, even if you, like, suffer together with somebody and you give them something of God and they receive it and they chew on it and they let it be theirs and they spit something back out at you and, like, you have this fellowship and you get to watch somebody's life in the flesh with God inside of them. This is such a privilege. And I'm really believing in this. I really am, and I really do. Just friends don't know friends. Friends don't know who their friends don't know their friends. That's what I'm saying. If you have a friend and you haven't ministered with them, you don't know them. It's like you got to do something in God with somebody to have your hearts knit together. You got to. And I don't know what measure that is. How you serve somebody, how you help somebody, how you hazard your life so you can be with somebody. I'm not saying that as a challenge. I'm just saying that it's like, that's something I observed. And I really believe in it. And I saw Tony's life, and just being with him for 10 days, I saw a man of God that I never knew. And he's in our church. It just made me see how rich the body of Christ is that I'm actually in. I want to serve with people. I don't want to be alone and do something alone. Don't be alone. Don't be alone. Don't gravitate towards your bitterness, your little bitty hurt, and do something alone. You got to have. I saw Vicki Whalen. I don't know if she's here this morning. She was just. I see her volunteering, doing things. Just like she's serving, getting to know people. It's amazing, and then. At Velapoia, this is on the beach, this is where they had the conference for the Albanians. Pastor Magnus Gustafsson from Sweden brought down 4 people, okay? He brought down 4 people. One guy had been to the conference in Finland, brought down another couple. They're seeking God, and he brought down his daughter. If you know Pastor, and these are stories about our lives. If you know Pastor Magnusson, it's like a redemptive story, just a redemptive story. I can't tell you how redemptive it actually is. Like you could say, the thoughts in my heart about him, how God redeemed. By serving together with him, my thoughts about him, you know, over the last few years, working together with him, God has sanctified my thoughts about him. You know, I might have had wrong thoughts about him. And just working together with him, it's so beautiful to be unified. And this is like where God commands a blessing. That's what Pastor Ramirez said about the trip to South Dakota. He said, he said, we had unity, therefore God commanded a blessing. Where unity is, and where do you have the unity? Unity is where there shouldn't be unity, but God brings in a unity, and there's unity, and God says, I'm going to bless it. That's what God does. That's what God does in a band, music. People that shouldn't be united, God brings together, get united, and then God said, there's a blessing. You say, wow, I just tasted something. I just partook of God's divine nature. Pastor Magnus, just the redemptive story of his wife and his daughter. I mean, it's just a man was given a gift from God because he followed God diligently. He sought first the kingdom of God. He was persuaded in his heart. So we were there. And then we got to see the elders of the Albanian church. Endre, Edmund, you guys don't know them. Godly men. And Tomi. Tomi was a Bible college student here. Who remembers Tomi? Tomi. He's married to Christy. He's married, a great lady. They're in the church. It's like this man is continuing. Your investment was not in vain. Our investment is not in vain. Errol is coming. He's a deacon in the church. He's coming here for Bible college. Errol, remember that name, and we're going to invest in him. We're going to love him. We're going to love him, invest in him, and we're going to serve together with him. And he's going to go back to Albania, you know, as a man of God. And he's in the church there. And then this is just greatness. It's like things you just observe. Pastor Chris Moore is a missionary. It's like does a lot in Ukraine. There's a girl living in, Pastor Tony and his wife open up their house to this Ukrainian girl. And her story is like no one would want to be in her shoes. And you say, well, you don't know my life. It's like, you don't know her life. It's like, I don't know. It's like nobody wants to be in her shoes. The things that have happened in her life. And Pastor Chris is supporting her as a missionary there. Maybe he doesn't want me to tell you, but I did. I mean, because I'm saying is people are making sacrifices. People are making sacrifices for other people's lives. And it's beautiful. And when you see these, you know, that's a quantitative sacrifice that you can quantify. You can put the zeros on it and quantify it and counting. It's like, but people are making sacrifices. And you don't have to be making a quantitative sacrifice that people see and know. You're just making sacrifices. And believing in somebody. And you know what? This is this redemptive story. I'm just going to be open. When I saw this girl at first, I hope she even hears this message, I was like, whoa. We ended up going to Kosovo. You know, we had a team that went to Kosovo, got to know her there. She was knit in my heart. All it is, we're just vessels filled with God's glory. That's all we are. That's all people are. Like I said, if you knew her story, I don't even want to know her story. But she's serving God there. And and it's like, you know what? When you love somebody, you're going to have a friend. And if you're thinking wrong thoughts about somebody, you know what? You're not going to have a friend. They're not going to be your friend. If you're jealous about somebody, they're not going to be your friend. If you're thinking bad thoughts, oh, they're really weird. You know what that means? You haven't served with them and found out the treasure that they actually are. It's true. It's true. There's so many treasures. Then the other girl, Yamur, Turkish girl. Basically without family. Pastor Roger and Liz, I don't think they're here this morning, are they? No, they gave her a plane ticket to go from Antalya, which is Turkey, to be there. Sacrifice. Believing in this. Believing in this. Doing this. Camp Life staff, just think. They're going to get to know each other so well. There's going to be amazing unity in Camp Life staff this year. They're going to work together and all, like, you know, the weird personalities that come together. And people are going to have this amazing admiration for somebody that they thought weird thoughts about that was in the body of Christ after Camp Life is over. That's being on staff. That's being on staff. That's serving together. Remember someone that came up to me once and, you know, told me how weird they thought I was for years. You know, and then they, you know, it's like, it's nice to, you know that somebody's thinking a good thought about you. It is. It really is. We got to hazard our lives to serve together. Where can I give? Where, like, if you're alone, how can I not be alone? You ask yourself that question. I was in Velapoia. We went to this after Velapoia. You know, Anne-Marie Pallotta, what a source of joy and desire. You see that couple there. You know, their story. They met, you know where they, I was like, they met at rehab. That's where they met. Became a couple. What a story. And they're on the field serving God as a couple 35 years later. It's beautiful. Pastor Schaller, just before convention, put out the statement to pastors, because you know how, like, the churches in the world are looking for us to initiate vision. He gave them a statement saying, you tell us where you want to go and what you want to do and where you're thinking about going, and you know, we want to encourage you in that. Pastor Dennis Hewlett got this message in his email, and 3 days later he had an elder, Edmund, in his church said, Pastor Hewlett, I would like to go to Kosovo. You know, they had visited there several times. Kosovo is this region, it's Albanian speaking, but it's this region that is a country that they like Americans there, because we're the ones that, you know, put the pressure on Belgrade with bombs, basically, with, you know, military strength to stop the genocide. But we went there as a team. We took two vehicles. We went there as a team, and this team was filled with joy. We had joy. We had this desire just to do sketchboard and all this on the streets. The first day we went to do sketchboard, put up our book table, and we were really expecting great things. And so the police come and they say, you can't do it here. And so we just migrated over to a park that was about a half a mile away. And I think that night there were, in that park, quiet place, not where all the foot traffic was, there were 4 salvations that night, you know, and these are just amazing life-giving exchanges where, and they were Islamic people, and they were people that believed, and they prayed with us. And I say prayed with us, they understood the gospel, and they asked Christ to come into their life. And this can happen. And then the whole time you're there, you're thinking of a church. We could have a church here. There could be a team that has unity, that has a song service like we had here today, and then preaching a message. I had this privilege this morning to listen to Pastor Ryan in Cambodia preach his message from 1 John chapter 1. And just the profound wisdom in the simplicity of the gospel. He spoke about 1 John chapter 1. It was so powerful. And you saw that he was speaking to people that had no idea really how to have a relationship with God and the results of having a relationship with God and the consequences of not relating to God. And he spoke about that. We have these preachers, you know, I'm sure Pastor Dennis Hewlett spoke this morning in Albania to his church. There's a girl there. She's almost blind, this wonderful lady, Aviza, she's just following God. People have to lead her around, and you wouldn't even know that she's blind, and she's a young lady, and she serves in the church there. You know, there was a man that came to church. He's a retired pastor. He's Albanian, and this is like when you minister with. Like I just think of people going to Camp Life, staff, all the sacrifices. Like, what is taken care of when you sacrifice? Like, how God knows how to take care of our lives when we give over here, how God knows how to take care of us over here. This is the divine economics that is called the faithfulness of God. And this guy is a retired pastor. You know how he found out about the church? Someone threw out a tract, and he found it on the ground. He didn't read it initially. He read it a day later. And like, this is, when we minister, we don't know how God is going to add in our lives. And when you minister and when you sacrifice, leave something undone. And in your heart, say, God, you have to take care of that. You have to cover that for me. It's amazing to see God take care of that. In his way, abundantly, super abundantly. We're on this earth once. In our accounting, we should have spiritual accounting in our lives. Where we think like that. Where when we lose our life, God knows how to give life. So that was our trip this summer. So thankful that we have opportunities to do that with our lives. And as we think about Bible college, let's just read 2 Peter. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith. There's nothing greater. I'm going to be quick with this, but there's nothing greater than to have unity in our heart. I think I spoke something about heart vocabulary. There's nothing greater to see the cross in somebody else's life. There's nothing greater to see somebody tempered by the Holy Spirit. And you can put your finger on it and say, that's the Holy Spirit, that's not a man. Like precious faith. And you see that in other people. You see it in your wife. You see it in your children. Okay? There's nothing greater than that. Like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The righteousness. Like, it was obtained. correctly. It was obtained through God. There's no, to say self-righteousness would to water it down. It was, or to like religious righteousness. It was obtained through God, through regeneration, through the death, the burial, the resurrection. Like precious faith, correctly. Don't we hate illegitimate faith? Fake faith? There's so many people. And I'm saying this to the city of Baltimore. One of the most destructive things that have happened in this city is illegitimate faith. Don't let your faith be illegitimate. I'm saying that maybe to pastors, I don't know. I want it to be real. One of the greatest things in our life, we want it to be real. You know, we look on the ingredients of whatever we eat. You know, how real is it? You know, nothing is really real, except maybe our faith can be really real in this world. Do you know what fake faith, how it has hurt people? It's sick. It's really sick. And I mean, it's like, I want that executed, crucified in my life that's not fake, that is fake. I want it crucified. It's really sick. To dress up and to pretend and then never know God. I could tell you a story in the city. We got a couple minutes. Tuesday night of Summer Alive, went into the city of Baltimore. And it was a rainy night. The forecast was terrible. We called off Summer Alive for our group. But I said with my wife and Jacob, I said, you know, let's still visit some, you know, we can hop in between lightning bolts and visit some kids in their houses. And so that's what, a girl was 13 years old, came to girls' club. She was a great student, And she was so, she has a great mom. I met her mom. We knocked on the door. Find out that she is running the streets. They don't know where she is. She's left home. They have no idea where she is. 12-year-old boy that used to come to my house. He was put into foster care. Used to go fishing with him. He's from his grandmother, who is in terrible shape. And I mean terrible shape because of the inputs of the world. She says that he's smoking pot, marijuana, 12 years old, doesn't want to live at home. He's with, you know, been running around, would run out of foster parents' house, is in somebody's house, 12 years old. Another 12-year-old boy, almost the same thing. He's a drug runner. He's come to my house, got pictures, looking at pictures of him all over. We watch football games together in my house. The city eats people up. Another girl, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but it's just as bad or worse. She's 22 years old. Another story, picking kids up to bring them down here to tell them, Charlie, these kids are going to come down, they're going to play basketball. Go in their house, 13-year-olds. Once the boy that came to the door is 14, and they're high. They're just smoking with a bunch of guys. I asked for this one kid. He said he's not here. And so the kid comes out of the house who I asked to play basketball, comes out, and guess what he was probably doing? Then coming down here, just like I think there was another story, but coming down here to church because they had basketball that night. Right over here at the gas station, they're pumping somebody. Resuscitation, just, you know, like just young guy, drug overdose. Come into the gym and just, you're excited. You know, you're just angry. You're just angry at how this world is eating people up. just eating people up. It's a kid that wants to go to Camp Life. He's 16 years old. They don't know where his grandmother doesn't know where he is. His sister doesn't know where he is. They have an idea, maybe. He went to Camp Life yesterday, last year. He was at the convention this year. Nick Plunkett, Charlie have invested in him. It's just, he helped us with Summer Live. And the kids say, I asked them why they're smoking pot. It's because it's the only way I know how to take care of my anger. I think we have a better message. I think that's a lie. And this is our kids, and the kids, I'm just showing you a sphere where we can minister. This is all over the world. There's lies, they're believing little lies like that. We have marijuana and lies and, you know, funny religions in the city and da 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 da. You know, it's just, that's the way it is throughout the whole world that we get a minister in. That's the way it is in Kosovo, believing a lie of Islam. It's the same way. And just imagine Nehemiah just like getting a vision in his heart, walking through the city and just desiring in his heart, like, you know, not to do something, but God, you just be big in me. God, you just be big in me. Be big in me, like counselors and staff in the Camp Life. God, just be big in me. Be big in me. You're going to save somebody's life in your cabin at 12 o'clock at night, and you're going to give them a word that they can base their life upon forever and ever and ever. And it's going to produce fruit, and that fruit is going to cause amazing fruit. Okay. Like precious faith, it's amazing to serve with those people. Just read, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. There's this abundant life that is inside of us, and like I said, it is objective. This grace, do you feel like God is like blessing you? Is he building something? Grace is like the building blocks, and you're adding in your life. And God is like putting grace into your life. And those are the only blocks that we accept. And you know what happens when grace comes into our life? We're thankful because we finally have peace. We finally know why I'm here. We're here on this earth for the grace of God to be abundantly built in my life. That's why we're on this earth. And it's like, then you know what you do? You have peace with God when that's happening. And when that's not happening, you know it, and you're grieving the Holy Spirit, and it's like there's no peace. Where'd the peace go? It's gone. You know you're building with something else. The person that's building right on a stone, he's not building on sandy ground. He has amazing peace in his life. You ever notice that? In our own lives, when we're building correctly, there's amazing peace. The subjectivity when we're not building correctly. This is it. According as his divine power is given unto us, all things, his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge. There it is again, this knowledge that is amazing. The knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, and hereby are given unto us these exceedingly great and precious promises. There's nothing greater. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is superlative. This is the greatest that you could ever find. There's nothing higher. The biggest, the best, the most beneficial, the greatest peace, the greatest, you could say, preciousness for our lives, the greatest end result, the greatest reward. God has given us those promises. I love that song about how we wait on God through like darkness. storms, night. Isn't it great? I told one lady yesterday in the city, I said, you tell God you're angry, and you tell God what you don't want to do anymore, and you keep telling him that, and you'd be angry today. But inside of all that anger, you keep believing that God is good. That's the way you really think, and then there'll be a persuasion of God, because you really want God, and you want to find God's mind. And so that's what we do. I tell God, I'm angry. I'm upset. I don't want to do that anymore. I hate this. This doesn't make sense to me. I detest that. But inside we say, God is good. God is good. And you know what? You know that's going to win. You know God is good. And you're going to learn something from that situation. Instead of saying, I know the answer. I know how I should control my emotions. I don't know how I should control my emotions. I just tell God I don't like it. But deep down I believe God is good. You know what? I'm going to come to some wisdom and knowledge of God afterwards. Right? That's how we can do that with God. Make your requests be made known to God. Come now, let us reason. Isaiah chapter 1. Let's talk to God. Let's speak to God. Okay? Yeah, it's amazing glory. Verse 4, whereby given us exceeding great and precious promises that we are partakers. There's that divine nature. It produces that divine nature. And what do we do? I don't know where that went. I just escaped something from the world. Sometimes I want to say maybe it's because of age. No, it's because of godliness. I escaped something. I'm growing. That doesn't cling to me the way it used to. Oh, it comes, yeah, but it doesn't cling to me. There's a sanctification process that's happening in our life. I've escaped something in my life. I used to get really bitter. I used to get really jealous. I used to get really angry. I'm starting to escape things in my life, finally. On this trip, I showed my wife. She calls him PDA, right? Public displays of affection. Do you know what that is? Like when you put your, do you guys call it that too? Isaac, do you call it that? Did your wife call it that? Okay. And like I touched my wife in public, put my arm around her. And I used to be afraid to do that. You know, I don't know. It was associated with, I don't know, just really complicated in my mind. And instead of trying to uncomplicate it some way or just do it because I thought I should do it, I just didn't do it. But, you know, I think maybe like God has undone some things in my mind, you know, because it's so complicated up there. You know, I was finally, you know, able to do it. You know, isn't it amazing, God, just to do little things like that in your life that, you know, you guys don't think it's very big, but if you talk to my wife, it is like, you know, it's like, she said, you'll never have to buy me another car the rest of my life. She said, you just gave me a PDA. I mean, it's big. It's big when God does something like that. Okay. Yeah, we've escaped. Okay. I guess I'm not going to go on the rest of these. That's where I was going to go. But anyway, look at this in verse 8. For if these things... This is all these things that we're adding to our faith, thinking with God. If these things be in you and abound, they're active in you. You're expecting them to happen. You're looking for them. You're waiting for them. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful. There's an eternal work that's happening in your life. And in the knowledge of Jesus our Christ, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but he that lacketh these is blind. That's why I'm just encouraging us just to be involved. I just want to open up my heart to the things of God. And when we open up our heart to the things of God, these complicated locks that are on that door, we just say, you know, just like we didn't even know how empty we are, the things that we're missing, all the locks that we have on the door. Our mind is too complicated. I can't give PDA to my wife. And you know what I mean? It's like it's just really complicated in my mind. But like through this godliness, it's like these doors are opened. These locks are taken off of our lives. We have to live behind all those locks and live alone. It's like, and try to, you know, oh, that one's locked today. That one's locked. I'll unlock that one. But since those are locked, I still, the door is locked. Oh, let's unlock that one today and that one. But these two down here are still locked, so the door is still locked, so I'm still secure. We don't have to live like that. Oh, I'll unlock three, but the fourth one is still locked. Wow, that's really a good display of, like, you know, boldness on my part today. But meanwhile, the door is locked. I'm still going to live alone. Do you see what I'm saying? These are the games that we play in our mind for our own security. But we can actually abound and not be unfruitful in this life, okay? Okay. Wherefore, brethren, in verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling. God begat you. God got you. Your calling and your election, sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto an everlasting kingdom of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. So that's my explanation this morning for 2 Timothy chapter 1. Like how this amazing, abundant entrance of God through a little bitty gate, you have no idea how great and big it's going to be. It's a narrow way, but it leads to the way that's everlasting. Father, we thank you. We praise you this morning for your abundant life and how you minister to us. And use the ministry of the Holy Spirit this morning to speak to our hearts. Bless Camp Life, God, in an amazing way this year. Our prayers are on top of Camp Life the entire week, God. God, we pray, and give us an army of people to help move stuff into the vans after service. And if anybody's here today, they've never received Christ, they're just opening up the doors and say, I veil myself to the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe that I need this life in me, and this life only comes through Jesus Christ, and I want it. Say in your heart, Christ, I'm receiving you today as my personal Savior. This is your invitation today from God, and say yes in your heart. And if you did that, just raise your hand and just say, I receive Christ today as my Savior. Raise your hand. Anyone receiving Christ today? Okay, thank you, God. Thank you for your ministry to us today. In Christ's name, amen.